back-to-school savings are officially in session at Tanger Outlets. Shop tax-free July 30th through August 8th and save up to 70% off the latest school styles. The best of apparel, footwear, accessories, and more. Save at Nike Factory Store, American Eagle, Gap Outlet, Crocs, Under Armour, Banana Republic Factory, and hundreds more. There's always something happening. Discover the latest fun and events all season long. Tanger Outlets, your savings destination.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am here, and we are doing our annual NCAA tournament preview. We will give you all the lowdown on the men's side of the bracket, and we will talk at the end about the Illini women. What a great season it is, where both teams are in the NCAAs. I think it was 2003 the last time that happened. Big congratulations out to Brad Underwood, who is now in the position where Illinois has went 3 years in a row. It should be four, but COVID stole that one from him. And, you know, he's now in the unique position where people can be disappointed by a 20-win season and an NCAA bid. So I think that's a good thing. I'm not certain if the coaching staff would be quite as appreciative as I am, but I am so happy that we've got a group of leaders who actually can make Illini fans disappointed at just a 9 seed. And of course, Shauna Green has done just incredible things in her first year, and a win or two in the NCAA tournament would really help the Illini to even solidify from the recruiting standpoint. But it's really got to be underscored that right now this team is on pure icing. Nobody thought they would be here. Just an incredible, incredible job by that coaching staff and by that team to come together and get into the NCAA tournament. So we will be right back after this, and we will jump into our coverage with Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince joining me. Thank you.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
So here with Brad Sturdy, fellow Illini guy and co-host of the Illini Guy Sports Spectacular and Big Sports Radio, along with Kedrick Prince, the director of recruiting for Illini Guys. Gentlemen, we've got the brackets in front of us. It looks like a pretty intense NCAA coming up with the parity, or parody, however you want to look at it, making this maybe one of the hardest to pick brackets of all time. Brad, let's start off with your initial thoughts on the matchup. Thursday, 3:30 Central, ninth-seeded Illinois going up against eighth-seeded Arkansas. That's in the West bracket. Give us your thoughts.
Ever seen that meme they have where the Spider-Man guys look at each other and point at each other?
Yeah, that's this
game. And these are two teams that are athletic that struggle to shoot the ball. They, you know, Arkansas is maybe a little bit more athletic, but also probably a little bit more out of control. They want to play fast. They turn it over. They also force turnovers. So, it's an interesting matchup. Both teams really lack they lack something. You know, they're both more talented than an 8 or a 9 seed, but yet have been able to get there. to where they should be. I think that's this matchup. It's like, I guess the great part is you've got two teams that should be good that aren't as good as they should be that are playing in the first round, and one of them's going to end up happy. And I'll tell you what, you know who's not happy about this? Kansas. Because these are two teams that Illinois already beat Kansas in the preseason scrimmage, and you know Arkansas can beat Kansas because their athleticism and length. So when they're right, man, either one of these teams could win a game, but that are very inconsistent. Who knows what's going to happen?
Ted, what is your what's your thoughts on this matchup?
I'm not surprised. This is exactly what we thought. We knew how they faltered down the stretch. They weren't the same team as they were in the beginning of the year. I think, you know, I was listening to the SEC Network, and they were going to today talking about this is the most intriguing game at all the SEC schools because of the talent that Illinois has and because both teams are identical. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. Again, but this is what Illinois did to themselves. They should have taken care of business and pulled off a 60, in my opinion, but they didn't. So now you're going to get a team that's comparable to you. But I also think the way things are done with Illinois, you know, they're going to probably come out and shoot the ball. How many games have we talked about on these podcasts where somebody has a career night and I'm expecting somebody to have one Thursday night because that's what always happens in Illinois?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. I look at Arkansas as being a little bit bigger, a little bit more athletic, but with less experience because you have Matt Meyer, who's went to a championship game. You have Terrence Shannon Jr., who's been to the tournament. You've got Coleman Hawkins, who's been to the tournament. I give Illinois a little bit of the experience advantage and give the talent advantage to Arkansas. Am I seeing that the way you are, Brad, or is any differences there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty accurate. I think that, you know, you have different they're although they're very similar, when you look at KenPom, you look at some of their stats, they're actually eerily similar. But I don't know that they're, you know, I agree with you. Arkansas is probably a little bit more athletic, but also think you're right about Illinois having guys like Meyer and Shannon and Hawkins who have experience. And of course, in the case of Meyer, and Meyer's won, he's won a national title. So he's been there, right? So yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's an intriguing matchup in that regard. So I think that's a pretty good breakdown. The one thing I would say, if you look at Illinois, they have to guard well to win. Illinois is 0-11 when teams score over 1.05 points per possession. Now, so what does that mean? Okay, so we start looking at Arkansas. We look at a team that has struggled on offense at times. They have a very good defense, but they haven't been a great offensive team. So when we look at Arkansas, you know, this is a, you know, it's a team that when they also, they have had some games when they've been really good on offense, and they've also had a lot of games when they've been really bad on offense. So there it's 50-50. Illinois 20-1 when they hold teams under that or under that level. Well, Arkansas has been there over half the time. Right at half the time, they've been under that number. So what's that tell me? I see a game where it's going to come down to the higher scoring it gets, the more that favors Arkansas. Lower scoring game is going to favor Illinois.
Yeah. Ted?
I just don't know if Illinois is going to be able to slow them down. They have two first-round draft picks on that roster. At this stage of the season, I mean, the players have been through enough wars. You know, they played over 30 games, so I don't know if they'll be concerned. I do think Illinois is athletic enough. I mean, Jay Neff is in that point guard position. He's a good player. I don't know if he's going to play or not. He is not. He would be the guy that would, I would think, that wouldn't be that situation. Since Harris would, he would be a guy that I hope to get a lot of minutes because he's quick enough to get out and guard and push the ball. So it's going to be about a game of matchups, and it's not about hurting people's feelings right now. You got to play to win, and, you know, if you have to sit certain people, they sit. Doesn't matter if it's Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, Coleman Hawkins, you got to win games now. And it is a tough matchup. I'm glad because he, you know, if you go back to Houston last year, he talked about putting this team together that's built for March, and it is. I mean, whether they live up to the expectations or not, Who knows? I don't think they're going to jack up a lot of threes. I think they may test the waters, but if they're not, they're good. Their offense is good enough to where they can get to the basket. And I don't think anybody's going to be able to stop Dame one-on-one. I don't care how athletic they are. The only person who's done that is Zach Edey.
Well, I will tell you, the question that I have, Brad, is who does Coleman Hawkins guard? Because, you know, Council is deadly when he gets to the basket, and he is an athlete. Nick Smith, athlete, and Anthony Black, athlete. How do you see the matchups falling, you know, if Illinois goes with their characteristic man-to-man defense?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I feel like this is a typical example of we fellate on these other teams. Like, there's the awesome thing. Oh, my gosh, they're 20 and 13.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not like they're 20 and 13, and yeah, they've got two first-round draft picks, but they're 20 and 13. Somebody said, well, Nick Smith missed some games. They're 3-6 since he came back. So I think sometimes we think they can't shoot, and they're just like Illinois in that regard. When you have teams that can't shoot, it makes it hard. You know, I think Coleman, you're going to see him spend some time on maybe, you know, I think he'll draw Jordan Walsh some. I think he'll draw Mekhi Mitchell when that works out. But, you know, the one thing about the way you play these guys, Illinois can play a totally different style than they usually play. Because you don't have to worry about fighting over the top of screens as much. I mean, you can go under those screens.
Right.
We feel free to shoot it at, you know, your 29% clip like we do. You know, I mean, I mean, Ricky Council has taken 114 threes and shooting 27%. So, you know, that's kind of what you want. You know, Devontae Davis is a good shooter, but, you know, they know, you know, put some of these guys on there and like, you know, Terrence Shannon can get up and guard, RJ Melendez can get up and guard, and I think they'll be okay. I think they're going to be, I think that's the matchup though, is letting Coleman maybe guard a, you know, a Jordan Walsh and then, or Mitchell, and he doesn't have to maybe get out and, you know, pressure quite as much. He can kind of play some center field and take away some of the stuff at the basket and use his length. And that's one thing Illinois does do. They block a lot of shots. And so I think that's, you know, that's what they need to do without fouling. Because both these teams, you know, when they're good, they get to the line. And Arkansas fouls a lot and they get to the line a lot. They shoot a lot of free throws and they give up a lot of free throws because they foul a lot. So
sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. It does, yeah. Doesn't it?
I don't know. What are they shooting from the free throw line? Have you guys looked at that by chance?
Yeah, they're at 69% from
69%, 287th in the country. They are slightly better than Illinois. They're 304th in the country in 3-point shooting. Illinois is 331st. So they're both epically bad. How about that? So
yeah. Well, yes, you know, you talk about defense. I mean, I think I saw a statistic the other day. Illinois, maybe it was the Big Ten, it was a title, but I think they finished second in the country of block shots. So they are long. I hope they don't do that, they wear Coleman out. But you got to win the game, too. So whatever happens, happens. And they have to avoid foul trouble. The thing about the tournament, every, you know, like Terrence Shannon said, every possession matters. Every single possession, and that's what the young kids have to learn and understand. You can't make the home run passes in the tournament because one home run pass that you turn over, it could cost you the game. You go back to the Penn State game, it wasn't a home run play, but then dangerous technical foul. Most of us can say here that really affected the outcome of that game, I think, because they, you know, they came down, they hit two free throws, and then Buck hit a three, so you know, instead of going up eight, they end up going, I think they were down by one or something.
Yeah.
Well, it's even scary because you look at, like, you know, I mean, you talk about, like, separated at birth. You know, Illinois is block shots is 5.7 a game. Arkansas is 5.2. Arkansas is 12.9 turnovers a game. Illinois is 12.8. Illinois' field goal percentage is 45. Arkansas's is 47, 69 for Arkansas at the free throw line, 68 for Illinois. Illinois' 3-point percentage is 30.9, and there's Arkansas is 31.7. So this is like, I think we're going to see a rerun of Step Brothers. Will Ferrell, because these guys are so close. To me, I think it comes down to two factors only. Maybe I guess three, but two of them are kind of packaged together. Who's going to play defense more effectively? Who's going to turn over the ball more? And who's going to have the player who gets hot from the three-point line? Illinois has proved if you have a guy go 8 for 9 or 6 for 9, like against UCLA and Texas, they can beat anybody in the country. And they've also proved that when they don't play defense, they can lose to a lot of teams in the country.
Matthew Myers is the one guy that I think that's capable of going on a heater. I mean, of all the kids, there'll be some guys that make some three-pointers. I hope they can, you know, they can run some sets, some things to Luke Goody to get him some open looks, because I think he's a good shooter. Obviously, he looks a lot better. He looked really good against Penn State. So Matthew's the one guy. I've said for this whole time, I think Matthew's the wild card in this whole situation, because if he can't get threes, he's big enough to go shoot over the top of people. I think Arkansas is going to be a tough. They have to match up with Illinois, too. I think Illinois creates some matchup problems as well.
So I'm going to ask you guys, and we'll get on to the overall NCAA preview here. I know it's before your official predictions, and I know that you've got to obviously put more time into it for your respective articles. But, Brad, your early leaning, which way are you leaning?
Well, you know, my early leaning is that I think that Illinois is just too inconsistent, has too many stretches. But the one thing, I'm just starting my deep dive into Arkansas, and what I'm seeing is the same thing. So
it's Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, so I you know, it's that makes it hard, right? I mean, so I think the one thing, I think Illinois is going to have a pretty nice crowd in Des Moines. I think they're going to travel well. I think they enjoy these neutral site games a little bit. You know, you look at New York, you look at, you know, it's going to be a similar
Vegas
setting, Vegas. Yeah. And so I think Illinois has a great chance. I think Illinois also knows, and this is the weird part about this, Illinois knows they can beat Kansas. So this is a game they're taking it. They're really taking this personally that everybody's picking Arkansas. And I think that may cause them to come out with a little bit more fire than normal. And so that's why I think Illinois may pull this one out right now.
Ed?
Well, I'm going to go Arkansas by 6. Whatever the score is, I don't know. I just think I've seen too many inconsistencies, and they're not playing their best basketball down the stretch. They've not given me any reason to think that they're going to pull out a win. It would be great. I don't want to think with my heart. I'm thinking with my head. I've just seen too many things that go wrong, and, you know, just a lot of meltdowns, and I'm just not sold on them. You know, it's unfortunate, but I definitely see Arkansas squeaking this out. Brad mentioned he's right. You know, Kansas has got to be scared, because Illinois and Arkansas both are athletic enough to play with them on a neutral court. You know, Illinois will have the home court advantage. At least I would think they would, because I do think people will go. But you still have to perform. I mean, Illinois had the home court advantage of Chicago and still lost.
So, Ked, I got to ask you, though. You know, I think sometimes we get too close, because if you look at Arkansas, aren't they the same?
They're the same. And here's what I think. And I don't know what the term is. Somebody posted this once. I think it's called Illinois things. Anything can happen. Okay, here's an example. Think back to the tournament last year. RJ Melendez goes up for a dunk. Horrible call. Don't think it's going to happen. Okay. Then you get the Dane Danger situation. Those are things that I think that just it's luck. I just don't think they get luck. I don't think they've gotten a lot of 50-50 balls, because when you guys just read the stats, they're all the same. They're identical. They are exactly identical. That's probably why the two teams are playing each other. But I just think Illinois will do Illinois things. If somebody will get in foul trouble, some referee is going to hose Illinois, and then, I don't know, I probably shouldn't say that, but then somebody will be sitting out. It's just those things that always seem to happen, why they can't get over the hump.
Yeah, you know, like I said, this comes down to, I think on, you know, any given game, if Illinois gets hot from the outside, they can beat anybody in the country. But they've got to time that getting hot from the outside, which doesn't happen as much as we had hoped, with a game where they're also playing aggressive defense. And if they get those two things together, they can beat anybody. But as we saw in the back half of the season, they don't get those two things together very often. Will Matt Meyer, will Coleman Hawkins, will Terrence Shannon Jr. be able to inspire their teammates and themselves to play that hard? Stay tuned, because this game should be an exciting game. And I think it's going to be one that will be really fun to watch. I don't expect either team to get too far ahead of one another, but I will say the thing that makes these two teams interesting is they have a tendency to lose big leads. So one thing you could say about the Illini is they really don't quit. So it should be very interesting. So let's talk about, as we're talking about this, let's talk about the West bracket. We're on the right-hand side of the page down at the bottom, because I like to start in the exact opposite place of everybody else.
Makes sense.
Exactly. Number one, Kansas. Number two, UCLA. It looks like a heck of a bracket. Of course, Gonzaga and UConn round out 3 and 4. Brad, any teams you think are going to pull the big upsets in this bracket?
I think this is a really tough bracket. I mean, I look at that 5-12 game, and I love St. Mary's VCU in the 5-12. That's a fantastic game for a 5-12 matchup. I think UConn is good, but they're getting it, you know, they're obviously going against a guy we've called maybe the best college coach in college basketball, right? If we had 1 year. So
yep,
that's a tough draw. TCU playing without, you know, obviously their center's not playing. Maybe they'll, I know they've won some games, but, you know, I don't think either one of those games, those teams have played good competition. Gonzaga Grand Canyon, of course, Illini flavor there, with Jamal Walker being the assistant coach at Grand Canyon, right? And so yep, that could be interesting. I like Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga's playing really well right now. I like them to come out and get through. I think Boise State's, I think, favored over Northwestern too, early in the early line. So I think that's a tough game too. So UCLA, I think, gets to the – I think it's chalk at the bottom. I think UCLA and Gonzaga. The thing is, I think Gonzaga has too much for UCLA right now, because UCLA isn't whole. I think if they're healthy, I actually would pick them to come out of this region, but okay, not, they're not. UConn, I think, will come out of that top to get to that that Sweet 16 game. I think they win too. They beat the winner of St. Mary's and VCU. And then I got Kansas, and I'm picking Illinois and Kansas. I'm picking Kansas, but it's a crazy matchup. I really think that, and you never know, is Bill Self even going to be there? With his current, you know, health condition. So I don't know what's going to happen there. So UConn, how about that? UConn, Kansas, UCLA, Gonzaga is a great Sweet 16 pair of matchups. And my pick to come out of there is Gonzaga right wow. now. I think they're playing well. I'm picking them. I've got I think UConn upsets Kansas, and then Gonzaga comes out of there. And I don't think this is a good Zags team. I think this is one of the worst Zags teams of the last probably 10 years. And yet I think that because college basketball is what it is, I think they have a chance to come out.
I like, I have to be, I'm sticking with UCLA. I think they're going to be the team to come out. I think a team, I don't want to say that's dangerous, is UConn, because they are a 4 seed. You know, obviously Gonzaga just kind of snuck up on people. They didn't have the year that they typically had where they were ranked number one all season, but UCLA has just been playing some of the best basketball, and I know the players hurt. Also, you know, when you look at the Kansas, I mean, regardless of what show you watch, a lot of people thought Kansas was playing the best basketball of anybody in the entire country, and you know, recently. So, you know, I know they got beat last Saturday. So, I mean, it's tough to say, but I mean, some of those teams, and I'm gonna tell you another dark horse that I mean, I would not want to play. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to the top a little bit. Is on Miami. I'm just kind of concerned about them. Then you look at Texas. I mean, they're playing really, really well right now too. So this is a tough side of the bracket, I think.
Yeah, if I had to pick, and I know it's it's easy to say, but I think I look for Bill Self to swoop back in. And I see Kansas using that energy to maybe get past a Illinois or Arkansas upset bid. And I think once they get some clear sailing, I think they're on their way to the Final Four. So let's go up to where Ked was talking, the Midwest bracket. And we've got Houston at number one, Texas at number two, number three, Xavier, and number four, the one that I don't buy Indiana as a four, but they have constantly exceeded what my thoughts were. I'm on board with them as being a really good team. I just didn't see them earning their way to a four, but what do I know? Brad?
I think that's true of a lot of these teams. They didn't earn their seed, but they had to put somebody there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like this year is such a down year for college basketball. I mean, and that's why I'm picking Houston. Houston in this region, I think they are the clear favorite. I think Texas is the is also coming out of the bottom. I think those two teams are going to be the teams playing at the end of this draw. I think I've watched Kent State actually play. They'll give Indiana trouble. Trace Jackson Davis is just too much, I think, though, for them to. Miami's going to be an intriguing game if Miami gets by Drake, as I expect them to. I think Houston walks through their first two games. I think that's probably the easiest draw for any of the one seeds right there. Now, I don't think that upper bracket, Iowa State is the most overrated six I've ever seen, perhaps. I think they're going to lose the first game. I think Xavier is, I think they're also a little bit of a paper tiger. Texas A&M's tough, but they played nobody. And they're going to have a tough Penn State team who's like they're all 30 years old. So that's tough. But I like Texas and Houston, and I like Houston coming out of this region.
I like Houston too. I really do. But I'm going to tell you, I think Indiana is, I've said this, I think Indiana is one of the teams that's kind of built for March. I like their roster. Trace is a tough matchup, and I don't, there's very few teams that have seen guys like him. I mean, he's a great outside shooter, but they isolate him and he's able to get to the basket. He's a good free throw shooter, so you have to honor that. The other game, I mean, Iowa and Auburn, which to me, I mean, that's another good 8-9 game, but I just think Auburn is probably too athletic for Iowa. I don't think Iowa's going to come out of this one. I mean, I don't see that happening, but, and then Brad mentioned, and I mentioned earlier about with Miami, I just think they're a dark horse. They play really, really well in the ACC. I think they're a dangerous team. And who wants to play Penn State? I mean, I don't, because you can't prepare for that. I don't know. I mean, Brad Underwood talks about, you know, calling it bully ball, but you cannot prepare. And if they're making shots, they're going to advance because it's one-on-one. And you can't even zone them because all five guys in that lineup can shoot the basketball. So I'm really curious to see how far that they advance as well.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you on this one. I feel like for me, I'm normally a Houston guy, but I just feel like Texas may go on a roll, especially when this could be their a way to decide to hire a coach who seems really deserving to go from the interim tag to the permanent tag. Brad, do you think this? I mean, obviously, if Texas goes out in the first round, that job's probably wide open. How many games do you think he's got to win to where Texas can't, you know, go onto the open market?
I got to believe if he wins two, there's no way they can get rid of him.
Okay.
But I think he should be kept now.
Oh, I'm with you.
I mean, it's insane to me that there hasn't been a – unless he doesn't want to. It doesn't make sense. I know Texas wants to throw money at a big name and do this and that, but man, all he's done is win, and he's the guy who recruited most of these guys. So it makes no sense.
I would certainly like to keep him. He's done enough for me, you know, because the tournament, you know, it's your Illinois fans, because Illinois fans don't like the fact that you lose the first weekend or second weekend, but second game. It's matchups and it's luck, but I do think Texas is good enough. I don't think they're going to be a tough out, But you're right, they're going to try to throw name at some money at some guy probably, and the job should be his. I mean, he's proven it, and like Brad said, he's recruited some of these guys. Most of the assistant coaches, because that's their job, they go get these kids, and now he's able to mold them to do what they want. And they looked really good last Sunday, I thought. So they're a dangerous, dangerous team to me.
So now we jump over to the South, where Alabama is the number one seed, Arizona, a very tough number two seed, Baylor, number three, and the old, ancient defensive team of Virginia, number four. Brad, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, obviously, I like Alabama getting through those first two games pretty handily. I think San Diego State's good. Charleston's 31-3. They're obviously a tough team too. So, but I think Virginia could lose to Furman. F you, baby. I like that. I like that squad. But you know, Virginia's just old. They'll grind you out and they make it tough. So that second round game though, if it's San Diego State, Virginia is must see television. I mean, that's fantastic. And I like Alabama getting to that regional final though, no matter who they play. If you look at the next thing, Creighton's playing well. They were terrible in December. They're playing well. I think they beat NC State. I think Missouri-Utah State is a wild game, but I think Arizona comes out of the bottom. Now, here's the game. The team in this region that if you want to try and figure them out, they're good. Don't get me wrong. They're 22-10, Baylor. Baylor, I think, with their guard play, when their guards are clicking, they could end up in that regional final. Baylor could also lose to UC Santa Barbara in the first round because they've had games. I mean, they have certain games that just don't work for them. I think it was there are just times when they don't look very good. The guards miss shots. They take bad shots. If that sounds familiar, let me know. But, yeah, I mean, they just are a team that at times looks great and at times has looked really, really pedestrian. And they were able to draw the 10 seed. I mean, and, you know, if a team is – they basically – can't beat, they're 0-3 against Iowa State. I mean, that's why Iowa State got the seed they got, is because they beat Baylor three times. And so I don't know, but I love their guards. I mean, their guards are so good. They're so talented. Keontae George, Adam Flagler, LJ Cryer. I mean, Flo Tamba in the middle is a, you know, a space eater a little bit, block shots a little bit, scores inside. They've got, you know, Jonathan Chama Koa or whatever, you know, has played some, you know, when he's played. But yeah, overall they got a lot of players. I like them. But I also think they've been, you know, kind of really up and down and inconsistent, just like everybody else.
I like Alabama. I think there's a reason that they were the number one seed in the tournament. I just feel bad because I think Arizona's dangerous. And it's too bad because they one of those teams could be on the other side of the bracket. But I think, you know, granted, that's why they're number one. They did get the weakest part of the bracket because I think they're good enough to roll off every single one of those teams except for Arizona. Yeah. You know, I know Illinois fans don't want to hear this, but seeing Missouri in there, I'll tell you what, I mean, that was a nice surprise. Nobody saw that coming this basketball season because in 1 year, they're 7th seed and they blew Illinois out. And so, I mean, are they capable of beating Utah State? It's very, I mean, they're athletic enough. I mean, I think, but Arizona's big. I think they're the biggest team, and I think they can cause Alabama some problems if they both got there that far. It's very, very possible. But I see stuff. I see teams in the middle: Creighton, North Carolina State. You know, who was obviously a bowl team. I don't see those teams advancing out.
Yeah, I'm going to say if I had to pick, I'm going to go with Arizona coming out of that. So, you know, here I'm doing all 1s and 2s in this supposedly wacky parody NCAAs, and I've went totally the safe route. So now we're going to go.
But you know what, Mike? You know why? It's because everybody else sucks. I mean, you take out those teams that have been good, everybody else bad. I mean, like, what's Illinois, 20-12?
Yeah.
Baylor's 22-10.
Yeah.
Is there, I mean, you know, if Illinois wins those games that they lost at the heartbreakers at Iowa, Indiana, Purdue, whatever, where they had leads late in the game, they win couple of those games, are they like a 3 seed? I mean, yeah. That's the difference between being like a 9 and being like a 5-6. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. There's little difference between all these teams except for those teams at the top.
Just two or three possessions that you get into a defensive stance, or two or three possessions that you don't shoot a crazy three, and you might be
– get a call that goes your way, secure a defensive rebound. Lots of options. But, yeah, I agree. Arizona-Alabama, I think that could be a great regional final.
Oh, I think that is going to be spectacular. Yeah,
it might be the game of the tournament.
You know, if the guys at Furman don't have something in mind.
You, baby.
Now we go to the East, and I'm going to give my pick since I've been going really, really conservative. I'm higher on Purdue than anybody else. I'm going to take Purdue to win this one, but Purdue's the one seed. Marquette, the surprising number two seed. Kansas State, Weberless, but a three seed. And Tennessee, a four seed, but battling injuries. Seems like they're kind of going in the wrong direction. Brad, what are we looking at here in the East?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I kind of look at this region. I think this is the most wide open region for me. I Purdue is interesting, but I'm telling you what, it seems to me if you pressure them, they really wilt. And I will guarantee you that Memphis is going to pressure them if that's that game. And that could be a really bad matchup for Purdue. I think Duke has kind of gotten a good draw there with Tennessee being not the Tennessee that we expect with the injuries and not playing as well down the stretch. So I like Duke to get to the Sweet 16 against either Purdue or Memphis. And that's why I think Duke's a trendy pick, and I see a lot of the ESPN guys picking them. Not necessarily, I don't think it's necessarily because Duke is great, although they're playing well. I think it's because nobody else is really killing it. Purdue keeps winning, but they keep winning close games. Now, I think if it's a Purdue-Duke matchup, I'll take Purdue over them. But I'm not sure Purdue gets through that second round game. Now, on the other end, Kansas State, I think, is vastly overrated. They're solid, but I think Kentucky is the most talented team in that bottom tier. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they're the most talented team. Michigan State's guards against the Marquette team will be an interesting game if Michigan State can take care of USC. I think that could be a really good game. I mean, we've seen Marquette struggle against Wisconsin. They lost to Wisconsin earlier this season against Big Ten. So Michigan State comes out of there. I think Kentucky and I still think it'll probably be Kentucky Marquette in that game. And then you got Duke and Purdue or Memphis, but whoever wins that one, I think this is going to be our surprise. I think it's going to be one of those teams, Kentucky, Marquette, Duke, one of those higher seeded teams that comes out of there. Cause I don't think Memphis can win four, but I think they can win two, to get there. So yeah, that would be my take. And then Purdue is still the chalk, but I just feel like they have been playing with fire for quite some time in a lot of these games.
No disrespect to Purdue, but I'm going to tell you, Memphis is dangerous to me. I can see them. I see them winning, and I see the first big upset of the tournament, major upset, I think it's going to be that game. I think Purdue is good because they have, 7 foot four or five guy in the middle, but their guards, if they don't shoot it well, I mean, I don't want to say it's luck because you need luck to win, because Penn State could have beat them Sunday. Who knows with the late traveling call. But I really, really think Memphis is going to come out of that part of the bracket over Purdue. I feel that way. And I think Duke got a gift with their seed because of who they are. Even though Oral Roberts is not going to be an easy out for them. I mean, I know a lot of people don't know much about Oral Roberts, but they're tough. That's not going to be easy. Out of all the teams coming out of it, I mean, I'm picking Marquette. Shaka Smart has surprised people, and they're rolling. They just, they really are, and they could have easily been a one seed. So I think they're a dangerous team, and I think they're going to be the team in the Final Four. I think they're good enough to play. I don't know if they'll beat Alabama to get to the championship game, but I definitely think that they're good enough to advance. And Providence has this one good guy, a transfer. Kentucky, I think, saved their season. They struggled, and there was a chance they couldn't get in, but I guess the talent prevailed. So, we'll see what we'll see what they do. Cal is probably – I don't want to say he's fighting for his job because they're never going to get rid of him, but he needs a nice run in the tournament too.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And the other thing you wonder is, you know, with Kentucky, you know, that's one of those things where the fan base is just going to go nuts if they don't play particularly well. And I do worry with Duke. They've got a ton of talent on that team. I mean, John Shire is a rookie coach. I don't think you can look at him to out-coach anybody, but sometimes you don't have to if you have enough five stars. You know, he was given – I mean, he was given historically, what, one of the top five classes in the history of college basketball. Any one of the three of us probably could have got at least 20 victories this year with that team. So,
oh, I would have won 30.
Yeah, well, you very well may have, you know, you just don't know. You know, I mean, I got to be honest with you, you know. I think Shire is going to be in the place of Ryan Day, where if they don't win it, you can't look back at Ryan Day's resume and say, what does he fall back on when things get tough? And right now, Ohio State fans don't have anything because his first big job was head coach of Ohio State. And that can be a real bane if you don't meet expectations of a fan base, no matter how crazy they are. And Shire might be walking down that same path. You know, I kind of expect in 5 years you'll have somebody else there. But we'll see. Maybe he wins the title, you know, this year out of the gate and, you know, never slows down. So there's kind of our kind of preview of the thing. Any team that you think is the dark horse to make that NC State Jim Valvano run of this particular season, Brad?
Man, that's interesting. Let me think.
I have one. Right away.
Who you got? Who you got, Ted?
Penn State.
Ooh, a ten seed. That would actually be pretty rare too, to have a 10 seed pull that off.
They are playing well. Nobody wants to play them.
Yeah, now I'm going to go with a team that is a little higher ranked. So I don't know if this will be a total, come out of nowhere. But I do think, and you kind of mentioned them earlier, Ked, but I think if Indiana gets a few breaks, I just see them beating Kent State, and I see them beating Miami and Drake. And if Houston's not prepared, Trace could get some fouls on their interior. I don't know. I just kind of, again, it depends on how Hood Schifino is shooting out there. If he goes all Kobe on people, they're awfully tough. It's a 4 seed, so it's hardly a dark horse, but I think right now almost nobody is giving them a chance being in the same bracket with Houston and Texas.
You know, it's odd because I look at all these teams, and I guess my problem with all the teams, they're all flawed. And they're all – and so I look at this, and I think that it's possible that somebody does make a run. But I also just think there's a reason they all have like 10 losses, or they all have, you know, West Virginia's 19-14.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I look at these teams, they all have issues. And I think that's why you know, this year we always talked about there would be more, oh, it's so wide open. I'm not sure it is. I think the teams at the top are the only teams that are any good, and everybody else pretty much sucks. Now here's what I'll say. A team that, if I'm going to pick a high seed that I think has a chance to make a run, I'm going to go with a really high seed. I'm going to say VCU as a 12 seed, if they can win against St. Mary's, could get in there. I think that's a tough region. And, you know, I'm not sure anybody in that region is 100%. I could see Kansas losing, and then that opens some doors for them to beat somebody. Because let's say Illinois beats Kansas, they wouldn't even take VCU seriously.
I mean, no, they go out.
We got this easy game. It's just VCU. What's a
we just beat Kansas. We just beat Kansas.
Be easy. This is an easy game. So, you know, that'd be a team that I think could maybe, you know, pull an upset, you know. But again, you're a 12 seed. It's tough. The other lot of trendy pick was UC Santa Barbara. A lot of people like them. I'm not quite there with them, I would say. How about a 6 seed? Maybe Creighton makes a run. Creighton's playing well. They got a chance, but I don't know. Cutting down the nets for those teams, I just don't think they can win 6 in a row. Because they haven't ever won six in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they have 12 losses. So.
Well, what do you think about Iona? Does Pitino, who is arguably the best coach in the field, does he have any way that he gets these guys with this is my last run here at Iona? Is there any way he wins two or three games? I'm not saying they're going to go all the way, but could he make it where they beat UConn and beat St. Mary's and then beat an Illinois or an Arkansas coming off of the upset of Kansas and then his bus, you know, runs into UCLA and that's that?
No.
Okay.
Here's why. Have you looked at their schedule?
Yeah, it's very, very light.
They played New Mexico, St. Louis, Santa Clara, and Hofstra as top 100 teams, and their record against them is 1-3.
Yeah.
So they've been beaten up on bad teams all year, and that, you know, they're fine, you know, but and Pitino's a great coach. They won 14 in a row. You know, it would take kind of one of those miracle games where, you know, Walter Clayton and Dennis Jenkins just go nuts and make everything from three, and you know that then UConn misses, and you know they just weird things happen. So
they could save that for Illinois.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. So, any final thoughts, Ked, as we kind of wrap up this little preview for I on Illini fans?
Just be glad you're in the tournament. I've sought him old enough to where I remember when the Big Ten tournament was over, it was time for golf, and it was time to go, you know, get my boat out. You're in the tournament. You don't ever want to take that for granted because you're playing in it. And, I mean, laugh at Michigan and North Carolina because those are your rivals. Excuse me, but I got to take advantage of that.
Brad?
Yeah, no, I really – tournament's always the best time of year. I mean, this is great, and – you know, a lot of people are down, but this is where I look at Illinois right now. In a year when things didn't go as planned, they're still they were a clear NCAA tournament team without question. They were a team that got into the tournament and nobody has any, you know, they were easily in as a 9 seed. So if this is your bad year, man, sign me up for this 4-year stretch of, you know, 1 seed, 4 seeds, a 7 seed, 1 seed, 4 seed, 9 seed. And then you go back and maybe your next year you're a 5-6, next year then a 1, and then a 5. I mean, that's what you want, just consistently to be in the tournament and then have a chance to make a run every couple of years. And I'm excited for this because they haven't been able to get it done to get to the Sweet 16. So obviously it's going to be tough, but they do have a chance.
Very good. So with that, we will you know, let you know that we will have a preview coming up talking about who the Arkansas Razorbacks are. And that will be coming out on Wednesday morning. Excited about that one. We're going to have Courtney Mims from KNWA down in Arkansas, who is going to give us her ideas on what Arkansas brings to the table. And she's the weekend sports anchor down there. So that'll be a lot of fun. And of course, on Thursday, we will have a podcast post game where we will either be, you know, really euphoric or we'll be semi grumpy and mad at everything. So we will see exactly where we are on the Illini-o-meter after the NCAA game. So we look forward to an exciting week of coverage. And really quickly, before we get out of here, Brad and Ked, what do you think about the Lady Illini's chance playing Mississippi State in the play-in game Wednesday night and then potentially Creighton and Notre Dame after that?
Yeah, I think the women, I thought they got kind of screwed, you know, with the seed. I thought they should have been higher. But at the same time, had they been like an 8-9, they're probably 9 seed like we thought, they're probably South Carolina or they're in Stanford or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's, they have a better chance of getting to the Sweet 16 than they would have there. They know they can compete with Notre Dame because they already played them. They know that they can beat it, – it's funny, and this is a weird thing. I don't know if I should say this. But anyway, Shauna Green actually looked at Creighton and said, that'd be a fun game for us to play. I think we match up with them. Not saying that they're going to win, but I mean, think that would be a fun matchup when you saw that. Now, Mississippi State, they got to win three to get there, and other teams got to win two. But Illinois can get out of this region, which as an 11 seed, better than they would have if they were a 9. And that's the wild part about it. It's harder. Maybe you got to win three games instead of two, but they can do it. And you know, if they win one game, you know, then they can really sell that. Say, hey, we won this game. You know, if they win two games and they're in the round of 32, that means you're ranked 17 to 32 right there. Man, you can't really ask for more than that, can you? Except to win three.
No, Ted? I was very disappointed with the draw. I think it doesn't matter. I mean, I've watched so many things on TV, and when they talk women's basketball, and they talked about the job Shauna Green did this year in Illinois, and every one of them thought that they got shafted. They had a good resume. They beat Iowa, and you know, yes, they were missing some quad one wins. I get it, but this team literally turned the entire program around, and giving them a playing game. And it is probably better that they do it. I think Mississippi State's tough. I mean, I've watched some film on them already. Because they're athletic and they're long, and I think their inside game is going to be a tough matchup for Illinois with Branch, who's still sitting out. But, I mean, they're in the tournament, and, you know, Shauna's done really, really well, but I don't think they were happy. And she's not going to tell people publicly that she liked it, but you know they didn't. And I thought it was very disrespectful to Illinois to do that to them. I understand Purdue, but not Illinois.
Okay, so we've got – you know, I'm hopeful Illinois might be able to sneak three wins out. That would be a lot of fun. You know, again, awfully tough to play three games in 6 days and come out on top, but we'll see what happens. The one thing that Shauna has done for the Illini in basketball is you can't go on an NCAA run if you're sitting at home watching it on TV. And she has found a way to get the team to the NCAAs when probably the only person who might have picked that to happen would be herself. So a heck of a run by the Illini women. And of course, when you're tuning in, a great group of gals led by Adalia McKenzie, the original and only Illini gal. So be looking for her. A heck of a year. And with four gals who were named to all Big Ten teams, that was the most in the history of the program to get postseason Big Ten honors, and it's tied with the 86-87 Illini. So that was you talk about bringing up a tying a record from the ancient past. So fantastic job by the Fighting Illini women this year, and please tune them in. We'll get that game on Wednesday night. Then get the Illini men on Thursday afternoon. And with some good fortune, there'll be a couple W's for Illini fans. With that, this is
– yes. Mike, also, I want to say that we had a good Sturdy for 30 that just came out with Shauna Green.
Oh, yes.
You and I got to talk to her, and she gave – we had a good time. Learned about her pizza skill, eating skills, and so forth. So it was
good stuff. You know, it's not surprising that the shape she stays in, that she doesn't have nearly the accomplishments at the pizza eating table that you or I do, but it is what it is. Yes, you can check out Sturdy for 30 on any of the podcasts distributors that you would use. That is an excellent interview. Shauna is you can really see why parents and players would gravitate towards playing with on a team that she's coaching. She has the rare ability to hold people accountable, but be pleasant while doing it, at least in the early stages. Well, you know, I don't know that you want to let her down too often, but there's a style there that is a really, really unique style that I think will serve her and Illini fans very well over the years. So with that, I'd like to thank Illini guy Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, who is here, you know, under duress. A lot of people wouldn't have been here tonight, but Kedrick muscled through. Good job, Kedrick, director of recruiting for us. And this Illini guy, Mike Kegley, saying, go Illini.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC.
Eye on the Illini is powered by IlliniGuys.com. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country or halfway across the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. And this is when you want to subscribe. We have all the NCAA news and notes. And of course, today is the transfer portal. It opened. It's March 13th. And nowhere will you get the coverage on what's going on in the transfer portal and the Illini better or more often or in more detail than from Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince of the Illini Guys. $99 is for 1 year. Subscribe today. Also, Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, our two-hour weekly sports talk show that focuses on Illinois sports. Go to IlliniGuys.com. Find the radio button, click on it, find the station that has it nearest you, look at what day, Saturday or Friday, and what time, tune it in. Please give them a drop them a line or an email. Let them know you appreciate being able to listen to the Illini Guys on the radio. We would greatly appreciate that. And of course, we have our two other podcasts that you can get, Sturdy for 30, Ked's Recruiting Roundup. All the purveyors have that. And our two radio shows, Illini Guys Sports Spectacular and Big Sports Radio, they are released Saturday at noon when our last stations have broadcast those. So you can get either one of those podcasts. Subscribe to all of them, and you will always be up to date with Illinois and Big Ten news. We will be back with a Wednesday morning release of the preview of Arkansas. Please listen to that. And until then, go Illini.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on your next painting project. Menards carries Purdy paintbrushes, roller covers, trays, and paint kits to help you get the job done right. Purdy brushes are handcrafted in the USA and are the number one brand preferred by professionals. Save big on Purdy painting tools at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save.